Welcome here to this evening's service, the graduation ceremony. Please stand and take your hymnals and turn to page number 449, To God Be the Glory. Page number 449. For the processional.
Welcome to the graduation exercises of Canadian Baptist Bible College 2022. Praise the Lord for these seven graduates. A job well done. They've finished a course of disciplined study to which we honor them tonight as well as our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sharing this moment with them this evening. I thought of Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." For young people in this day and time, in our materialistic society, to seek to follow the Lord in a Bible college education, I believe that shows some good Christian character, where they put the Lord Jesus Christ first and seek to honor him and satisfy a thirst that I believe beats in the heart of men and women, as God wants all men saved and also wants all men to serve him. And we praise the Lord for these seven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service tonight. Lord, this is the culmination of many hours spent in study. Lord, many hours in practical Christian living. Lord, we thank you for these seven who paid the price. We thank you for these guests, parents, friends, and family who have lifted these seven up in prayer. And Lord, this is a night for all to rejoice. Lord, I pray that you'd put your hand of blessing upon this service. May you be honored and glorified along with these seven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. And at this time, we're going to have the choral ensemble come and sing for us.
Please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll be reading verse 1 through verse 15. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as the good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. Is it at this time I have the privilege of introducing our faculty and staff, so you'll know who is involved in the college. And so they're dedicated, and they're dedicated to serving the Lord, and all that we do is for the Lord. Many times we say Canadian Baptist Bible College, but anything that pertains to Canadian Baptist College, Canadian Baptist Bible College, pertains to doing the will of God, being obedient to the Lord. And they're all dedicated to seeing the lost won to Christ, and also to train others to win others to Christ. And we have Matthew 28:20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And also 2 Timothy 2:2, as we just heard when Pastor Matt read the verse, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So we have a wonderful faculty. They love the students, and they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're hoping to see great things from these students. Some of our faculty work full-time jobs and teach college courses at night and on Saturday. And they do this because they want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to be able to be used of God to see others pass on the Great Commission to those in such a needy world that we have. Our faculty is comprised of not only people who are familiar with the courses that we offer and the courses that they teach, but they also have years of experience in those fields. So I just want to thank the faculty and staff, and they're behind me and all about, and for their hard work and sacrifice and faithfulness to the Lord, and their work here at Canadian Baptist Bible College in the process of serving the Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call their names, and when I call your names, if you would just please stand where you're at, and so the folks can see you. Continue to stand until I've called everyone's name, and then I will have you seated. First of all, we have Julia Giesbrecht, and she's down here. She's been playing the piano. Julia teaches private music lessons and our music classes in the college. Then we have Jake Friesen behind me, and he teaches missions classes. He was on the mission field in Mexico for several years, and he's come back, and now he's the director of Canamara Baptist Missions, and he's a graduate of Canadian Baptist Bible College, as is Julia Giesbrick, is a graduate of Canadian Baptist Bible College. Then we have Anna Friesen, which is Brother Jake's wife, and she teaches missions classes, and of course she's been on the mission field, and she serves being a secretary for the Canamara office. And then we have Vicki Hornblower, and she teaches music classes, and Vicki is one of our newer additions, and she's doing a great job. Then we have Pastor John Rempel, and he teaches Bible classes, and he always, for some reason, gets the largest classes, and he teaches on Friday night, and those classes fill up quick. And so he's doing a great job teaching the Bible. Then we have Connie Rempel, and she teaches English. She is also the college secretary, usually the one you talk to on the phone or see when you go up to the window, and she sort of protects me from having to deal with every... No. Then we have Pastor Gary Drigger, and he teaches Bible, teaches our Bible doctrines classes, and he is the dean of the students at the college. And then we have Pastor Matthew Sullivan, and he teaches Bible and teaches music. And, of course, he's very intricately involved in the church here, working with the youth and overseeing the church music program. And then we have Mrs. Brenda Sullivan, and she teaches voice and ladies' classes and music classes, and she does private lessons. And she is the chair of our music department here at Canadian Baptist Bible College. Then we have Sandy Rempel, and she teaches our secretarial courses, and I believe she's been pastor secretary for 20-something years, almost as long as the church has been here. And so we appreciate her. Then we have Mrs. Camille Helm, and she puts up with me, and she teaches English and ladies' classes. And then we have Mrs. Betty Essler, and she teaches music and home economics, and she's been faithfully teaching for many, many years here at the college. And then we have me. I teach education classes, Bible and speech, and I'm the vice president of the college. And then we have Pastor Sullivan, who is the founder of the college. He's also the president of the college. He teaches Bible, counseling, church ed, homiletics, and any other thing that needs to be taught or the Lord leads for him that he feels is a need for the students to have. He's ready to teach those. And so I appreciate all of them. Let's give them all a big hand. And you may be seated.
We are privileged every year to hand out a few scholarships, and we'd like to hand out a couple of scholarships in honor of the Brian Booth scholarship. And the verse of scripture that's listed for us that was special for Brother Booth was Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This verse, to many of us, has been demonstrated and taught by the living example of a man that the Lord took home February the 20th in 2012, Brian Booth. Brother Booth exemplified sacrifice and service. He was an example to all who were around him and knew him. Often Brother Booth would remind us of his call and quote Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. After serving faithfully in several churches in Ontario, he served as a missionary to England and returned to Canada in 2007 to serve as general director of Canamara Baptist Missions International. One of the special things about Brother Booth is when he was serving on the mission field there in England, we were privileged as a church family to have more and more of our folk being called into full-time service as missionaries. There are a lot of logistics that have to be worked out in sending someone to the field these days. There are some governmental requirements, and we had not ever really formally set anything up. And so we saw the need of establishing a mission that's based in Canada that would actually service those that God was calling from our congregation, as well as seek to be a help to other missionaries being called from other independent Baptist churches throughout Canada. And so I remember calling Brother Booth as he was serving in England, and we chatted a bit because he was with another mission organization that we're real close to. And so I remember encouraging him to fly to Jacksonville, Florida, meet with Dr. Burge with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, who Dr. Burge, before he went to heaven, was real special to us here. Many folks in our congregation had surrendered to full-time service in light of his ministry in our midst. And so we didn't want there to be any rift or any problem with a switch or us doing something like Canamara Baptist Missions International. And so Brother Booth did that, and he graciously consented as he surrendered to what the Lord may have him do in establishing Canamara here in Winkler, Manitoba. And of course, he had a legal background. And so because of his legal background, his sister also served with the Justice Department here in Manitoba. And so he was able to establish the groundwork for Canamara Baptist Missions International that we really cling to this day and operate under the work that he did on behalf of so many. We're always really standing on the shoulders of others, aren't we? And I never want us to forget the sacrifice as well as the service that Brother Booth provided for Canamara, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Brian Booth Scholarship is designed to help students who characterize and exemplify the heart of Brother Booth in character, in service, and in love of the Lord. And may I say that he's the one that established this. We did not do this before he went to heaven. When he was still alive, he established this scholarship. This is an annual scholarship of $250 applied to the college expenses of a male student and $250 applied to the college expenses of a lady student. Tonight is a memorial to Brian Booth. The following two students, by secret ballot of the staff and faculty, are awarded the Brian Booth Scholarship. I'd like to have Brooklyn Freund come to the platform to receive one. Amen. Well done. Amen. And for the man, I'd like to have Benjamin Redicup come to the platform to receive the Brian Booth Award. Where's Ben? Oh, balcony. There he is. We'll all watch. Appreciate Ben. He's sort of distantly related. The next award is entitled the Ken Rimple Award, and Ken has a very special place in our hearts, of course. Brother Ken and I met really at a funeral. There was a young man who was just hanging on to life for a period of time and was in the hospital in Winnipeg, and we had had some dealings with the family, and Brother Ken happened to be visiting, making some hospital visits there in Winnipeg, and stopped in this man's room and was able to give comfort to the family. And so when the funeral came, Brother Ken and I were able to do the funeral together. So we had a chat during the time after the funeral, and within about 6 months' time, I noticed in our services that Ken and Helen were attending the services, and they started coming on a regular basis. There are several families in our church because of the ministry and friendship of Brother Ken Rimple and his influence in their lives. In fact, a couple of them are deacons of the church here. So he's had a lasting impact. He actually became a staff member. He went to Bible college, We took a missions trip to Mexico, and as we were visiting some of the villages down there and having some evangelistic services, Brother Ken felt the call to go down and minister there in Mexico. And so he spent a couple of years on the road raising support, going from church to church, spent about 6 months down there, and then the Lord decided to take Brother Ken Rimple home. I'd like to read just a little bit of the write-up that we have of him. Ken Rimple was born into a conservative Mennonite home. He was obedient to the church and his parents and joined the church before getting married, but was not saved. After many years of struggling about salvation, God led him to some evangelistic services in his hometown of Low Farm, where he heard a clear presentation of the gospel and asked God to save him. After much Bible study and a series of events, the Lord led him to Pimento Valley Baptist Church, where he grew in the Lord and faithfully served him. He felt like he had wasted so much time in not serving the Lord, but he knew God would use him and surrendered to his call to Mexico. He had a heavy burden to tell the traditional Mennonites how they could get saved. He felt the Lord would have him to start a Baptist church in the Low Farm area. He was faithful in reaching out to them and saw a number of people saved. He was especially excited to see quite a number of young people trust the Lord, and in some cases, 4 and 5 people getting saved at one time. The Lord saw fit to take Ken home to be with him in 2002 after a brief struggle with a brain aneurysm. The Ken Rimple Scholarship is given to someone who has shown himself to have a servant's heart, a genuine love for the Lord, good character in business, and a great attitude with those around him. $500 is applied to the college expenses of the student. Tonight, it is presented to a man for exemplary Christian character, attitude, and service. He is the one who is still living the dream, David Bedker. I'm going to ask him to come to the platform. Well, this is special. He gets the doors opened up for him in the back. He walks down the center aisle. Amen. If you ever meet David and ask him how he's doing, what is it you say?
I'm living the dream.
Amen. Congratulations. It's at this time we're going to have the ushers come, and we have an offering to receive. If you have your program for the college graduation tonight, you'll notice that there's an offering envelope in there. What we've always done in regards to taking an offering here at the church is no one ever receives a bill. No one is ever made to give in the offering. What we always do is ask people to just pray and ask God what he would have them do. And if they do that, we're going to be all right. And obviously, through the years, God has seen to it that our needs have been met. God is good, and God supplies. But if you'd like to use the offering, everything you give tonight will go to the Canadian Baptist Bible College. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your supply. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, I believe that that's a promise that's conditional according to Philippians chapter 4, because there was a church that was obedient in giving out the gospel, obedient in meeting the needs of others, and they could claim the promise that you will meet the need at hand on the home front. And Lord, we thank you for the college. Thank you for the church people who have caught the vision to train men and women for your honor and glory and for service. And I pray you'd bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Julia Giesbrecht will play the offertory at this time. Thank you. ensemble will come at this time and sing another special for us. Brother Jim Pfaffenroth is no stranger to us here. We happen to serve and privilege to serve as the sending church for Jim and Sharon. Pastor Jim Pfaffenroth has pastored Beacon Baptist Church in the northern fly-in community of Uranium City, Saskatchewan, for many years, with his wife Sharon serving alongside him. Pastor Pfaffenroth also oversees the logistics of Beacon Bible Camp each summer, where many children from surrounding northern villages are flown in and where the gospel is taught and lived. Born in Wisconsin, he joined the Air Force as a young man. The Lord used this to lead him to a little mission church in Puerto Rico, and it was at this church where he received assurance of his salvation and was scripturally baptized. He and Sharon were married shortly thereafter and served as the mission outreach of Bethel Baptist Church until the returning to mainland USA. This servant of the Lord has taught missions aviation at a Christian university and has faithfully served in the North since 1986. Pastor and Mrs. Pfaffenroth has 7 children, 2 of whom are in heaven, 23 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. They are sent out of our church here. You know, and also we're privileged to count him as a friend. And I appreciate so much the sacrifice he made to leave Uranium City in just this week and come, as Sharon is going to be having surgery in just about a week and a half. So we will be praying much for her and him at this time. But we're privileged to have him speak as our commencement speaker at this time. Brother, you come.
Well, certainly it's a privilege for me to be here. I didn't expect the phone call that I did a week and a half ago to come, but I really feel honored and privileged to be able to come. We love young people, and some of you young people have served up at our camp in Uranium City, and I know that if Sharon would have been able to come, she sure wanted to come, and she sends her greetings to you folks as well. We're here tonight to give honor to the young people who have stayed the course and finished their degree. And what a joy it is for them, I'm sure, to come to this point where they have culminated the years of college and will be receiving their diplomas, crossing that finish line. So they've sought this prize, a well-earned diploma, and tonight is their graduation. And we just appreciate you young people finishing the course. So Annika, Esther, Kristen, Daniel, Victoria, Shaylin, and Landon, you have finished this part of your course, finishing preparation for serving the Lord in the future. I just praise the Lord for you and thank you for your dedication. And of course, we've met the staff already this evening and their dedication in teaching you. And what a joy it is for you now to come to this moment in your life. I think maybe it might have seemed like an insurmountable task a few years ago. Wouldn't that be true for some of you? I don't know, maybe not, but some of those things that seem to be a challenge to us, but now it's behind you. And while this day represents a wonderful accomplishment for you, understand that God has a plan for your life that will require you to finish another course. And that's life's course. A familiar portion of Scripture, I'll read just a few verses out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul giving a charge to young Timothy, and he said, "Watch thou in the things," 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, "but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them all, them also that love his appearing. So, you have finished your college requirement for graduation. I'd like to key on that word tonight. I have finished my course. Finished my course. I wonder, how will you finish life's course? How will you finish life's course? The Bible is filled with examples of finishing. The Word of God is very clear on the fact that we start something and we finish something. It was so back in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says that the Word of God, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So right from the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we see that word finished. When Jesus, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Jesus hanging on the cross and said, "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. Well, what was finished? Charles Spurgeon made these comments about that and said, I quote, "He meant, first of all, that all the types, promises, and prophecies were now fully accomplished in him." And verse 28 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." And then he afterward said, "It is finished." The whole book, from the first to the last, was finished in him. And what a wonderful thing it is that a mass of promises and prophecies and types should be accomplished in one person. Unquote. I think of creation, and I mentioned Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, "The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host there in them." Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. Jesus finished his assignment in creation. He finished his assignment when he came to this earth. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And you know, Jesus will rule and reign forever. Can you imagine the great contradiction that Jesus carried? Psalm 72, verse 11 says, "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. Yet he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Isaiah 53, 3. Spurgeon said this, "He was sinless, without spot, without blemish, but yet one upon whom the Lord shall place the iniquities of us all." Jesus finished his work. He left a wonderful testimony and example for us to follow. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Now, I understand we're talking about God there, right? And that's a totally different category. But there's no possible way for us to measure up to God or to one who is sinless. But consider with me the Apostle Paul. Saul was his name when introduced in Acts chapter 7, and had consented to the death of Stephen. Who was Saul? Well, here's what he said of himself in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, verse 4 to 6. Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Saul held a lot of authority. A Pharisee, one who was hailing down men and women and casting them into prison, and he hated Christians. However, one day, Saul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed forever. Remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias and said, go join yourself to this man Saul. And he said, Lord, I've heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. After that, Saul was baptized, and he began to preach the word of God. But then in that very same chapter, we find something interesting. Verse 20 of Acts chapter 9, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this was very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and laid him down by the wall in a basket. And the point I want to make right there is this fact. You, young people, have given a testimony of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Sometimes I've led folks to the Lord before where they thought, now all of my problems are going to be over. And life is just going to be great. And certainly in Christ, there's no better life. But immediately, almost immediately, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. We live in a pretty wicked world, as we all know. And we could expect that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any second. I think we're that close. Amen. But we're here right now. You young people have prepared yourselves to serve God. And as you prepare to serve God, understand that you are going out into this wicked world where there, like Saul, had become persecution right at the get-go. Paul suffered great persecution for the cause of Christ. He mentions that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. in the journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. We see right off Saul, who became Paul, suffered great persecution. And I don't think that we should cover up the persecution that Christians endure, because the Bible promises they that live for the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. They'll suffer persecution. But throughout all these trials and persecution, Paul finished the course. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And there are many today, sadly, maybe some that have sat in the places where you're sitting tonight, who have gone off course. And maybe today are not serving God anymore. Maybe it was because of the persecution that they endured, telling someone about the Lord Jesus at their workplace, wherever it may have been, and they became discouraged. Throughout all these trials, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, and from Miletus he sent us to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind. I thought about that when I read that again this last week. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Remember Saul hailing down men and women, that proud man, that Pharisee who was throwing people in jail, consenting to them being killed. And now, with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying of the way to the Jews, how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Again, just to recap a little bit of his persecution, things that he didn't know what he was going in, getting into when he went to Jerusalem. But none of these things move me. Yes, tribulations and trials, persecutions are going to come in your direction. But none of these things move me, Paul said. Will they move you? None of these things move me. And if I can come to the point in my life where Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, certainly Paul left us an example of what we ought to be. And as we started out with 2 Timothy chapter 4, But watch thou. Keep your eyes open. The devil is a roaring lion, both about seeking whom he may devour. John chapter 8, verse 44, I believe it is, that he's the father of lies. He's a liar, deceiver. And he will subtly try to get you to go off course and not finish your life's calling for the Lord. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. While Jesus finished the work of the Father that the Father gave him to do, Paul finished the course for his life. He kept the faith. He didn't quit. Though he suffered greatly, as he was told back in Acts chapter 9, you're going to suffer. He suffered greatly for preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He finished with joy. Isn't that interesting? When you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your guide, as your Savior, when you're, I have said to God, hear my Lord. When you've said to God, after he said to you, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what he meant. That's what Paul did. He finished his course. So Annika, Esther, Kristen, and Daniel, Victoria, Shaylin, Landon, you finished the course here at school. What a wonderful accomplishment. How will you finish your life's course in ministry? Your life's calling by the Lord Jesus. If you were to look at the life of Jesus, whom the prophet Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 53, being despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. And understand, young people, that is the ministry that lies in front of you. You may well be despised, rejected, filled with sorrow, acquainted with grief, and some will even hide from you. But don't quit. Amen. Finish the course of life. Jesus said to the Father, I finished the work which you gave us to me to do. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Well, will the persecutions and the attractions of this world move you away from serving God? Paul said, none of these things move me. Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Paul's charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 10, he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Keep on for the Lord, no matter what. No matter how bad it gets, keep on for the Lord. Leave here with a purpose of heart to finish the course that God has called you to do. Don't quit. Well, how did the Apostle Paul manage to actually do that? Well, how did he do that? How did he manage to make it through those beatings and whippings and stoning and shipwreck, imprisonment, the Jews trying to kill him, brethren forsaking him? How did he manage to finish the course? Well, last night at the banquet, Brother Friesen said, stay in the book, the Word of God. Pastor Sullivan challenged us to get alone with God. God's Word will keep you from sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hide the Word of God in your heart. I think maybe sometimes the tendency would be like you have the requirements at school to memorize Scripture. But don't quit memorizing Scripture. Get alone with God. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 7 says this, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revelings. Don't be afraid of sharing the gospel. Don't neglect the Word of God. If you do, Satan will draw you away from the Lord and his purpose for your life. With God's Word, you do not have to fear. And then prayer. The Bible clearly teaches us to spend time in prayer and fasting. Jesus spent hours alone in prayer. Example, Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Who was he there with alone? Himself and God, his heavenly Father. Just as we heard this morning, Joshua stayed back. I just want to be there with God. And then in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, Jesus said, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went to a mountain to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray with your close friends. Be an encouragement one to another. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that he may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And then in closing, fear God. I've just been really concentrating somewhat on this business of fearing God. In our society today, there is no fear of God. God's not in the program at all. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. We need to have the right perspective of God. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Isaiah chapter 6 gives us a glimpse of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through verse 17 gives us a glimpse of God. I'll just read Isaiah chapter 6 because it's a short, not very long. I know we're getting a little long here, but I just want to share that with you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door move at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me. That picture that you may have of God is not to be afraid of him. It's to reverence him, to stand in awe of him, of who he is. And he's the savior of our soul. What a wonderful thing that we have of that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So graduates, today we congratulate you on finishing the course, this course, in your life. Now prepare to finish your life's calling to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can say at the end of your life, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this privilege and sharing what you've put on my heart for these young people. But Lord, it's for all of us in this building tonight, those that may be listening on the internet. Do we really study the Word of God? Do we really pray? Do we really reverence God, that fear of God? Fear the Lord. And as Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 10, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? And God, I pray that you'll bless these graduates. Lord, may they stay true to their calling that you'll give them. And Lord, I pray that they would be faithful to you until the very end, that they might one day stand before you. And Lord, I pray that for all of us here tonight, that we would concentrate on these things, think on these things, that we'll stand before you one day, give an account of our life, that we'd be able to say, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Bless your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. Thank you, Pastor Pop Monroe. All right, at this time, we get to confer the degrees. And so we'll get set up here on the platform. When I call your name, you may come to the platform. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree, by authority of the Pimento Valley Baptist Church, on recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Annika Margaret Mabel Bear the degree of Bachelor of Biblical Studies. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree, by authority of the Pimento Valley Baptist Church, On recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Esther May Bolazuk the degree of Bachelor of Biblical Studies. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree by the authority of Pembina Valley Baptist Church, on recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Kristen Lene Duick the degree of Bachelor of Biblical Studies. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree by authority of the Pembina Valley Baptist Church, on recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Daniel Caleb Fair the degree of Bachelor of Theology. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree by authority of the Pembina Valley Baptist Church, on recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Victoria Dominique Freund the degree of Bachelor of Sacred Music. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree by authority of the Pembina Valley Baptist Church, on recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Shaylin Elizabeth Margaret Jansen the degree of Bachelor of Biblical Studies. In recognition of the fulfillment of the requirements for this degree, by authority of the Pembina Valley Baptist Church, on recommendation of the faculty, Canadian Baptist Bible College hereby confers upon Landon Shane Schmidt the degree of Bachelor of Theology. The graduates, please stand. You may move your tassels. And you are officially graduated. You may be seated. Each year, we have a special gift for each of our graduates. And I just think these gifts are great. They're a very good, high quality, and they do have a spiritual meaning behind it that the students can have to display somewhere in their offices or wherever it may be to remind them of the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ and also of the great accomplishment they have had in completing their college education here. For our lady graduates, we have an alabaster box, and it's filled with spikenard and aromatic oil of great value. Along with the alabaster box is a plaque that is engraved with, "She hath wrought a good work." We take that from Mark chapter 14, verse 6. I'm going to go ahead and read the passage. You're probably familiar with it, but it says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat," that was Jesus, "there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and that was a lot of money, and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye? She hath wrought a good work on me.'" Christ was soon to go to the cross. We know the agonies of the cross and what he suffered, that we could have eternal life. And for her, there would be the end of being seeing God in the flesh, no more opportunity to touch God physically, no more opportunity to converse with Jesus face to face, no opportunity to physically see Jesus in action. And so she worshiped Jesus and honored him with the very best that she had and the opportunity that she had to do this. And Jesus says of her, it further down the passage, it says, "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. She gave her very best for Christ. And then that's all that God asks of us. And then we see Jesus said also, he said, "Throughout the whole world, wherever the gospel is preached, this act will be spoken of as a memorial of her," as a memorial of her. It was an act memorialized by God for eternity because of her worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and her sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God uses broken things, as by the crushed grain, the crushed piece of grain that we turn into flour that we're fed. It is by the bruised plants that we find medicine to restore health. It was by the broken pitchers that God gave Gideon the great victory, and he triumphed. As we just heard about the Apostle Paul and his suffering, it was the boards and broken pieces of the ship that Paul and his companions were saved by. And yet it is by the broken life of our Lord Jesus Christ that his people shall live eternity. And this broken alabaster box is to be throughout the world proclaimed that how blessed and glorious a thing it is to put Christ first in our lives. So ladies, just let this be a reminder to serve Christ while you have the opportunity. Our time here is short. and let us make the best of it. Let this alabaster box be a reminder that Christ gave his all for you, so you may have the opportunity to give your all for Christ. As I call your name, please come to the platform and get your gift. Annika Baer. Esther Bolazoo. Kristen Duick. Victoria Freund. Shaylin Jansen. And for the men, we have a silver bowl and a towel, and they have a placard on it that is engraved, "A slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of men." We take that from John chapter 13, and I'm not going to read the passage. I've got these ladies standing here holding their awards. But we find here that word servant is the word doulos, which means a slave. But though we have been bought with a price and we've been paid for by what Jesus did for us, God doesn't hold us to bondage as slaves, as we think of slaves in chains. We have the choice, gentlemen, to serve God and be a servant for him. And as Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and that's the text we're taking it from, Peter said he did not want the Lord to wash his feet. And the Lord said, "If you don't, you won't have a part of this." I'm paraphrasing. Then Peter said, and I have this in verse 9, he says, "And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head, and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but it's clean every whit. Ye are all clean, but not all." And so as a pastor or as a Christian leader, fellas, as you go in the ministry, as we encounter people that are saved, they don't need to be saved again, but they will get dirty feet, and their feet need to be washed, and they need men like you to help them along and get through that and help them to continue in their life. And also the unsaved need to see us as servants so they can come to know Christ as their Savior. So the bowl and towel represent the example Christ gave us in the washing of the disciples' feet, exemplifying the servant's heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope this will be an example for you and a reminder of you to have a servant's heart. As Pastor has always said, the ministry is people. The ministry is people. So as I call your name, please come and get your gift. Daniel Fair. And Landon Schmidt.
May God bless these graduates. Amen. Let's give them a big hand. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand at this time, and the ensemble is going to come. And inside your program this evening, you have a copy of our alma mater, and we'd like to sing that at this time. You also have a picture of every single one of the grads tonight for your safekeeping. Amen. Just a moment, we'll have a prayer of dedication for these graduates. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this evening you've given to us. What a privilege to serve you. What a privilege as a local church to be able to be involved in your great work. Lord, I'm sure that you're pleased tonight by these seven who finished their course. As Brother Pfaffenroth mentioned, Lord, this is one part of it. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us under the sound of my voice tonight would finish well, that we would hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, we pray for these graduates. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ on them. We ask, Lord, for a holy hedge protection about them. Lord, I'm reminded where you said to Peter that Satan has desired to have him, that he may sift him as wheat. But Lord, you prayed for him. It sure is good to know that your ministry right now is to pray for us, for each and every one of us. And Lord, you're praying for these seven graduates even now. And Lord, I pray we'd never forget that. And may these seven never forget that. And Lord, I pray that you would just hedge them in and use them mightily for thy honor and thy glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.